And for those folks in Facebook, we're glad that you're with us again today. Today I'm going to speak on honouring God in times of compromise. Honouring God in times of compromise. If I asked you today, how do you honour God? What would you say? How do you honour God? The Bible tells us we believe in him whom Jesus sent, who God sent, and his name is Jesus. The Bible tells us we honour God when we believe who his words. We honour God when we believe what he speaks unto us and what he declares. We honour God because his word is truth. And his word endures forever. And the Bible tells us what God has done with his word. He said, I have exalted my word above my name. So I'm a God of covenant and I'm a God, and my word declares who I am. And if I say, do not commit adultery, that is because I don't do it. If I say, do not steal, it's because I do not do it. It's a God who reveals his character and he asks us to come and to follow him and to believe on him and to trust him and to hold fast to his word. And we honour God when we take hold of God's word, we stand upon God's word and we speak forth God's word. No matter what you see in front of you, the storms, no matter the mountains you see in front of you, no matter everything that can be happening round about you, God is still the God of his word. And of his covenant, of his promise, and God is still the God who raises people up and pulls people down. And today I'm going to look at three cases for us as examples of what not to do. And then finish up with what we should be doing. That a scripture that we all know, Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that has been, it is not that which shall be, and that which is done, is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. People speak these words in all different forms, in different ways. People say you never learn from history. People say things just rhyme. And so we all have the various things which we take from that saying, more or less to give input and to say what has happened in the past, one way or the other, is going to come around again. When we talk about the scriptures, we maybe look at the temple in Jerusalem and we will say, it was destroyed in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. It was rebuilt after the captives came back. It was destroyed by Titus, but we know it's going to be rebuilt again. The last things which come round. And one of the things which is important for us is to learn from people's mistakes. Because at the present time, I was listening to a prophetic word given about Scotland for a particular prophet. He said, in Scotland at the moment there is wickedness. In Scotland there is wickedness. But then he went on to say, but ancient wickedness is trying to come forth. Ancient wickedness is trying to come forth. But who's going to stop it? The people who prevent ancient wickedness coming is the people who are called by God.
Yeah.
They are God's people.
Yeah.
Why? Because God's people has power with God. God's people have power to make decrees. God's people have power to come into the courts of heaven. God's people are in that position and place to make a change to what takes place and what will come to pass. Now I'm going to give you three cases of what not to do. Case number one is to do with King Jehoahaz. He was a king of Israel. And as you know the story, when Israel split into Israel and Judah, Israel was in Samaria, 10 tribes of Israel. Ephraim was one of the leading tribes. But from the very time that they split off the kingdom, they went into idolatry. And of course, as the different kings come, the idolatry just remained. One of the great things that you read about in the Bible, they always talk about, and the sins of Jeroboam. You know, and the sins of Jeroboam. They never took away the idols and all the corruption from Jeroboam. But Hosea chapter 7 verse 1 gives us an interesting verse. God said, when I would have healed Israel. So here is a particular scripture. And the Bible says, God is at that place where even though there's been wickedness, and there's been a falling away, and there's been idolatry and worship all the idols in Samaria, God was at that place where he was ready to heal. He was at that place where he was ready to restore and to heal the people. And we read the story, and we find it in 2 Kings, when Ben-Hadad, he came against the children of Israel. And the Bible says that the king of Syria oppressed the people greatly. They oppressed them. And so the Bible goes on to talk about in 2 Kings 13, verse 3 and 4, it talks about how King Jehoiada, he starts to seek the face of God. The Bible says when the oppression came, he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. And so Hosea says, when I would have healed Israel. Because the king starts to seek God. And God is that place where, okay, I'll heal your land. It never happened. It never took place. Because we find in the scriptures that the idols remained. The idolatry remained. And so they were at this place where things could have been changed and God could have moved in the place because God had heard the prayer of the king. But the king refused to do anything about the idolatry in the country. And so when God was there, when he would have healed Israel, it couldn't because of the condition and the hardness of heart of the people, particularly of the king. And so he was not prepared to turn away from his sin and serve the Lord. He was not willing to have the false gods and idols removed and return to the worship of Jehovah. And the nation was never ever healed. And the nation went into captivity eventually and scattered. He had the word of the Lord. God had heard the prayer, but he refused to do that which was right before the Lord. Case number two is King Zedekiah. King Zedekiah, we start in Jeremiah 24, verse 8. And there's a long history with the word of God coming to Zedekiah. And Jeremiah says, and as evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. Because Zedekiah, the wickedness, the evil that was taking place with the king, with the princes, with the people in Jerusalem. And so you go down to chapter 27, verse 12 and 13. I speak also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? And then we go down to Jeremiah 32:4. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And then as we continue in Jeremiah 38:15, then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare unto you, and this is what I'm saying, if I declare the word of God to you, you'll surely put me to death. And if I give you counsel, you're not going to hearken to me, you're not going to listen to me. And in verse 17 he goes on to say, then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into the hand and they mock me. So here we have the story of Zedekiah. And as you go through the scriptures, you discover the corruption and wickedness and the evil, the idolatry that was taking place in Judah was far greater than the wickedness that took place in Israel, that caused Israel to go into captivity. And here you have this man in this place where so much wickedness is going on, and the prophet comes to him. And the words of the prophet is, Zedekiah, don't resist the Babylonians. You go out and speak to the princes. He said, your life will be saved. The lives of your family are going to be saved. This city will be spared and nothing will happen to it. But he never believed the word of the Lord. I'm afraid of the Jews. You see, once you start getting fear of other people and lose the fear of God, you're in a bad position. I remember one time I looked at Herod, and Herod, when you go through Herod, he has feared about everything under the sun except the one thing he should have feared, and that was God. And here you've got Zedekiah, even in amongst the wickedness that you have, he refused to believe the word of God and to obey the word of God. What happened to him? He was captured. He was made to stand and watch as all his family were got killed. His eyes were poked out. He was taken in chains to Babylon and put into a prison and left there till the day that he died. Because he refused to believe the word of God. And we live in a generation that don't want to believe the word of God. But you see, the word of God will always come to pass because the word of God never fails. And the word of God is always a sure foundation for those who will put their trust and confidence in him. Now let's go to a subcase. After the total destruction of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was laid waste to the ground, and all the words of the prophet Jeremiah have come to pass. Then the Chaldeans leave some people in the land of some Chaldeans to rule over them, and they left the people. And what happened is you had some people from one of the other territories came in and killed them all. And so you had this remnant of Jewish people left. And we'll look at their case with Jeremiah 42 verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces and Jehohanan the son of Kareah and Jezaniah the son of Hoshiah and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Then Jeremiah, see, they said, come Jeremiah, will you go before your God? Will you go and intercede for us? Will you go and get a word? Will you go and tell us what God's got for us? Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God. I'll pray to your God. He's not just my God, he's your God as well. And he said, I'll pray to your God. And I will come back to you. And I will give you what God is saying to you. He said, and he goes on to say, unto the Lord your God, according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it to you and keep nothing back for you. So Jeremiah says, okay, I'll go before the Lord your God and I will wait upon him until he speaks to me about your situation. And the Bible tells us it took 10 days. And after 10 days, Jeremiah came back with the word of the Lord. And chapter 42, 10. And if you will abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down. And I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. And if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger or bread, and there will we dwell. Then verse 16. Then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So they get the word of the Lord. And you go to Jeremiah, just going to verse 17 now. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain to escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. And the response is found in Jeremiah 43. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God has sent him, sent to them even all the words. Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. So they are a group of people. They ask to get the word of God, but when they get the word of God, they do not believe the word of God. They do not believe the word of God. And they were determined to go to a place where God says, do not go. God says, you do not go to Egypt. Now, it's quite interesting because if you go to the book of Zechariah, the Jewish people were warned very sternly. Do not go to Egypt. Do not go to Egypt. But these people were so hard in their heart. And because they go to Egypt, and the very first thing Jeremiah does is he gets to Egypt, he prophesies Nebuchadnezzar's going to come into this land and everybody's going to get killed with sword or pestilence. But when you find this is the sin of Judah which you find in Jeremiah 44:9. Jeremiah says, have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your wickedness and the wickedness of your wives which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day. You see, this is one of the things the scripture says. When we humble ourselves in the presence of God, when we bow down low in his presence and humble ourselves to pray, the Bible says God hears us. And here we have this people who have seen the destruction of Jerusalem. They've seen the captivity of the people to Babylon. And the Bible says here, they are not humbled even to this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes, and I that I set before you and before your fathers. And here's some of the great wickedness that took place. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Paphos, answered Jeremiah, saying, but since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. We can look at these three examples. There's different things that we can bring together about them. You'll notice, especially in Zedekiah and the last group, they talk about having fear. We also know the first group must have had fear when they saw the Assyrians come in. But the Bible tells us those who keep their mind upon the Lord, they don't walk in fear. They don't walk in fear because their mind is stayed upon Christ. And they know who they believe. And a perfect love casts out fear. And these people, they're seeing with their eyes and they've heard all the prophecies, but they do not believe the word of God. So we can live and we do not need to fear. People, because of what's happened in the last year or so, and all the information of COVID, death, so many people fear. But this is a great opportunity for the church to be different from the world. Because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the world, but we have Christ in us. And Christ is the hope of glory. And Christ is the one who determines when you live and when you die. He has your breath in his hands. And we have Christ in our life. And the Bible says, if you're going to fear, fear God. Don't fear viruses, don't fear men, don't fear other opinions. It's God whom we fear and it's God whom we walk before. And we are called as the people of God to walk in righteousness and in truth. And in each one of these cases, no matter the wickedness of the people, no matter how much they had fallen into idolatry, God was extending a hand so that they could be restored and brought into a right relationship with him and not experience the disasters. Israel never needed to experience of being wiped out and being taken and being no more. Jerusalem never needed to be wiped out. And Zedekiah never had to see all his family being killed and end up in a whole life in a dungeon with his eyes out. That was disobedience. That was going against the word of God, not believing the word of God. These people went down to Egypt. What happened in Egypt? They died in Egypt. The pestilence came, they died in Egypt. And that is a consequence when we do not believe the word of God. But the Bible says, those who believe on him will do exploits. Those who believe in the Lord God are people who can do exploits. Because God is faithful and God is true. And God calls us to follow him and to stand in a perverse generation and to declare the word of God. Because it's not the words that we speak so much that's important. It is the anointing upon the word, because God quickens his word. And it's God who can, and hope through the Holy Spirit, who convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And so we are living in this particular time where there's wickedness and there's ancient wickedness coming. But politicians are not going to be able to save you. The only people that are going to be able to change the course and direction of what we're on is those who are called by the name of the Lord. Because no matter the wickedness and the sin that's in there, God is always extending his hands out. And God's extending his hands out and he's saying, look to me. Look to me. I'm the God that saves. I'm the God that heals. And I'm the God that restores. I'm the God that does miracles. Nobody else. There's going to come a time when someone will do miracles and can, and when the Antichrist comes, but God is a God of miracles. And it's God is a God who does that which is impossible and changes things around. And I'm giving you these stories because we need to learn from history and what has happened to people before. You have to trust the word of God so that they're going to be life, but not for yourself only, but for your children and your children's children. It is the word of God when we hold fast to and believe, and believe what he speaks and follow the instructions that he gives. Then we get life. The first thing to recognise is that the church of Jesus Christ is ecclesia. And that means that the church is God's government on the earth and they have power and authority. Sure. Jesus has said, all power and authority I give to you. So that means there is a place where the church has got to stand up and start to use their authority that they've been given. Yeah. You can use your authority by making decrees. You can use your authority by humbling ourselves and interceding for the people. We can use our authority that we have been given so that we change the course of nations and we stop this wickedness coming in. And I'm trying to think, the ancient wickedness. And it took me back thinking about the Dark Age in Scotland. And of course, the people I actually thought about was the Picts. What ancient wickedness possibly, whether they've done not, but what ancient wickedness would have happened in the nation? And I know back down in the times of the Picts, they were known as the painted ones and the people with tattoos. We know that they were polytheism was in their culture where they worshipped all the different gods. And of course, when we go back to the Greeks and the Romans, and way back to all, we know that all these type of gods, when you worship all the lewdness and corruption, you know, it's just overwhelming. And we're in this period of time where you see the disintegration of society. But if you let it go, it doesn't stop where it is. I was reading just yesterday about Massachusetts. There are now two cities in Massachusetts where they're making it legal, where more than one, it's not just a couple, but it could be three people, it could be four people, are all linked together. And corruption continues and continues until God's people say, enough is enough is enough. And they come and take their authority and stand before God. See, the Bible tells us the church has power. And we have a God who raises up individuals to impact nations. We have a God who raises up men and women who speak forth the word of God in power and authority. If you take Scottish history, when you go to Scottish history, the history books always talk about Mary's Queen of Scots. They romanticise her. But the person who had made the big impact was John Knox, because he preached the word of God. And the Bible says Mary even feared the preaching of John Knox. And it was the word of God that changed the direction of the nation and the direction it should go. And it lasted for a long time, that influence. And so God raises up people to stand in the gap and to declare his word. And we look for people to be raised up to declare, this is what the Lord is saying. Don't go there, stay here. Don't do this, do that. Because when we get instruction from God, the life of God's going to be in it and the blessings of God's going to be there. And so God raises up people to do exploits. Because the people who know their God, why are there no exploits? If there's no exploits, it just means that you don't really know your God. It's not difficult to decipher. Those who know their God do exploits. Those who believe God heals people, they move in that realm praying for people to be healed. Those who believe God still cast out devils, what do they do? They cast out devils. When we believe God and we stand in his word, we do the things in alignment with his word. You know, and repentance, crying out to God, standing in the gap. Many people have a knowledge of God, but it's in the mind. But the Bible says to believe from the heart. Because when we believe from the heart, we are trusting God. We're trusting his word, we're trusting what it says, we're standing on it, we're dependent upon it. And so we have a God that who has given his words, and there's a song that we sing, we trust you. We trust you because your ways are higher than ours. And so we stand declaring who our God is. And it's to break the power of darkness. And we break the power of darkness by worship and praise. One of the things that God called us to do, and it was starting to go well, and then COVID hit, was to do Sunday evenings, extended worship. And one of the reasons why you do extended worship and praise is because you're looking for the glory of God to come. And you're pressing in for the glory of God to come. Because when you start to get the overwhelming presence and power of God starting to come into your place, it's that overwhelming presence of God that is going to start to overwhelm the wickedness that is in the place. It is the overwhelming holiness, righteousness, glory of God coming into a place. It subdues the wickedness, puts it under its feet, curtails its ability, and it lets the word of God then start to spread, to touch hearts and change lives of politicians and all kinds of people. So the word of God is, you come for extended worship because you're looking for the release of the glory of God. You see, that's an instruction. God said, that is what I want you to do. So that means that what happens, people have got to make decisions and got to make what comes first, what is our priority in our life. Because the breaking of power of darkness coming through worship and praise, it means we're seeking for a release of the glory of God that impacts people, impacts politicians, impacts everybody it comes into contact with. It is God's people willing to put all other things aside. This is what God wants me to do. This is what God has spoken about. So this is what becomes a priority in my life. And God's people obey what God speaks. See, all of these cases I looked at, nothing bad needed to happen to them, even though their wickedness was so great. Only if they had obeyed the instructions God gave. And we want to stop ancient wickedness coming. We want to put an end to what is happening. But we can't do that unless we get to the place where we are going to be seeking and pressing in for that glory to come. Because the glory has got to overwhelm the wickedness. And if you don't get to that place, you're going to continue on a slope. And it affects not you, but your next generation and the generations to come. And God's purposes are always that we should choose life. God's purposes are never that we should choose death, but should always choose life. And so God's people are called to follow him and to do his will and his purposes. Because our responsibility is to seek God's destiny, not just for ourselves, but we seek God's destiny for our nation, because that affects our children and our children's children. And so we are called into that place because we are called the sons and daughters of loving God. Beloved, now are you the sons and daughters. Now are you in a place where you can walk with God, you're in a place that you can have power with God, and you're in a place that you can have influence. And you are the people that God wants to raise up because he wants to change what is happening in the nation. And so, when you look at these cases that we looked at, every one of them could have been changed. But look at the disaster that fell to every one of them. Look at the disaster that occurred because they would not hear the word of God. Because they refused to believe it was the word of God. That they thought that they could do things better. But you see, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God has called us as his people to come and put our feet upon the foundation of the truth of his word. And to stand upon his word, to declare his word. And as we comply and be obedient to the word of God, then we can expect to see the glory of God start to come and start to manifest. And when that glory comes, You know, they all these people go in next door to the beer garden. They'll not stay there for long. When the glory of God comes, it starts, it's not contained in a building. It's not contained in one place. But when the glory comes, it starts to overflow. But until we break in, until we have that hunger to really break in and break in and put that above all else to break in and get the glory to come, we're in a trajectory where this nation is going from wickedness heading towards ancient wickedness. But God has called each one of us because we have in us the life of God. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each one of us. And as we come realizing that we now have power and authority, that we are not just people with no power, no authority, that we have influence with our God. Once we realize what our authority and power is and come into alignment with what God wants us to do, then we can expect to see God doing some extraordinary things. We have great promises. We've got great words that God's going to do. It's like Hosea. He's ready to do it. He's ready to do it. He's looking for us to press in, seek his face, so that we will make an impact. So let's pray today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come and we just seek your face. For you are the God of all power and authority. You reign from heaven. And Father, there is no end to your kingdom. You raise up people and you pull people down. You are the God who has all things under control. And Father, as we come today, we just seek the face of our God, that there will be a release of the anointing of God upon the hearts and lives of your people, a quickening, so that the word of God will burn in us like it was with Jeremiah. It was like a fire that burned within his bones. We pray for that fire so that we will come into conformity to do all the things that you require for us to do, that we may see the glory of God coming, not just in this place, but into this nation. We look to see the glory of God coming, and the will and purposes of our God being done in this time. And we pray today, Father, we decree that these ancient gates and these ancient bars that are holding back ancient wickedness, Lord, will stand firm and not be broken and not be opened at this day. For we stand on the word of God to declare that Scotland should be saved, that Scotland shall be saved, because we, your people, are standing to declare your word and to do your will and purposes at this time. In the name of Jesus.